Americans are durable. We take pride in hard work and high quality. American Giant makes durable quality clothing right here in the USA, because what we wear reflects who we are. When you buy American Giant, you're not just wearing the best clothes money can buy. You're helping keep jobs and pride in your own backyard. Premium clothing built to last decades, like it should. Get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code RIGHTHERE24.
BFFT. Now, built by high-caliber millwrights, in for John Canzano, here's Jude and Newby and Stephen Vaughn with the Bald-Faced Truth.
All right, we ended hour one a bit abruptly. Gary in Tualatin was making a salient Ducks point that I was already surprised by. We're going to finish that up. We'll also talk to our friend Justin Myers coming up as well. Jude Anubi, Stephen Vaughn, hour two on the eve of the Big Ten Championship in Indianapolis. Taking your calls, getting your picks and predictions in. It's going to be a fun one. Nestler and Danielson tomorrow night, 5 o'clock on CBS. Let's bring up Gary real quick. Gary, I was surprised. I know you love your Ducks, but you said it would be devastating if Oregon loses tomorrow night.
It'd be the end of the world. But here's what I was saying, what I was trying to get to, is that when everybody is writing the Ducks off and they're going to lose three or four games and Coach is going to lose his job and everything else, I was saying it's not the team you start with, it's the team you end with. And here's what I'd say that the biggest improvement of the team was, first off, is Jesse James. He went from a backup running back to the featured running back, and that's a big step. And I'd say right now he's not only the featured running back, he's one of the best running backs in the country. He gets the tough yards. He runs for 6, 8, 10 yards. I can't wait for him to break one for a touchdown, but he has just become a great running back. And the second thing that they've improved on dramatically is the D-line. We've always had 1, 2, 3 guys that are really good. We've got 8 guys. To where when you're watching the Washington game, they were almost throwing up the flags because we would bring them in waves to where they were just destroying the offensive line, to where the offensive line they were exhausted by the end of the game. And Washington almost beat Penn State, and if they could have stopped the run, they would have beat Penn State. And I see sort of the same thing's going to happen, is that they have no idea how good this defensive crew is, and I don't see them scoring a whole lot of points. I'll be happy with a three-point win, but I would not be surprised if we had a 2-3 touchdown win.
There he is, Gary in Tualatin, and that really is the difference. I mean, you don't have to squint to see the trees that Oregon has up front with Young Concrete, Mateo Uiagalelei, with Jamari Caldwell, who's been my personal favorite. The aesthetic of Jamari Caldwell is one of my favorite college football and football aesthetics in general. I think he's such a great player. Harmon's been awesome. Tuiati's been great. They've got depth there. And Birch, of course, you know, when he's healthy and available and playing at a high level, that is the difference. The only thing left is to go out and do it. That's the only thing left.
Gary talked about when everyone was saying they're going to lose 3 or 4 games and the coach is going to be out. When did we all think Oregon's going to lose 3 or 4 games?
Not going into this season. That, you know, we would be having a much different conversation if those were the expectations. I love, you got to lower the expectations retroactively, though, in order to enjoy this. Justin Myers is joining us on the line now with Jude Anubi and Stephen Vaughn in for John Canzano. Justin tweets too much about his dog and he watches too much television and he talks too much about CrossFit. He's at Justin Myers 541. It's been a while, Justin. It's great to talk to you, my friend. How are you?
They said it would never happen. They said it would never happen. Justin Myers back on the Bald-Faced Truth. And you know what it would take? The universe with some bad stuff, but also some good stuff. With you know, my old coworkers in Jude Anubi and Stephen Vaughn, coworkers at different places, but you guys came back together. And because of the generosity of Tyson Alger in the I-5 corridor, putting me on the podcast when I was sent out to pasture in the radio world, I am now able to come back with my two boys.
Come on now.
Hang out and talk football again. How great is this?
Come on.
How great is this? Silver lining on the dark cloud. How great is this?
Who's got it better than us? You know? Nobody.
Exactly right.
Are you in a CrossFit gym right now? You sound like
I mean, I don't know how much time we have, but I was in a CrossFit gym this morning. I could break down my entire hour-long workout if you guys would like. Yeah. But I have a hunch. I have a hunch that the listeners would much rather hear us talk some football.
That's I-5 quarter podcast stuff right there for you, Justin Myers Jordan. My co-host, you know, he really, you know, led me along the ways. He showed me what it was to be an Oregon Duck talking head in the 2017 season, Justin. That's the 2017 season, the official Ducks pregame, postgame show. It was yourself and myself live from Watson. A lot of cold postgame shows and the lone Willie Taggart year. That's how I remember it. I got to share the mic with you. That was fun.
We talked about this a little bit on the Corridor podcast this last week because we were talking about just kind of the way that Oregon football has gone along. And think about it. Like, how crazy is it that we sit here right now, boys? And in that 2017 season, Judah, you and I were sitting there after Oregon put 69 up on Oregon State in Civil War, and we were freezing our tails off outside doing a post-game show, and it looked like, okay, after the Helfrich thing happened, boom, Oregon is back. They were going to the Vegas Bowl. Everything seemed to be going in the right direction. All of a sudden, a week later, Willie Taggart is off to Florida State. Oregon is spinning out of control, it seems, and to think that in just a handful of years later, Oregon would be back on top of college football with a conference championship in 2019, an undefeated season. They are the undisputed number one team in the country right now. Just think of where Oregon was in 2017 and to lose not one but two coaches yet still be at the top of college football. I mean, that's a death blow to a college football program to lose one coach, let alone two.
I mean, Rob Mullins is a Hall of Famer for what he's been able to pull off. And obviously, Phil helps with all of that. But you're exactly right. And I remember that Civil War, and that was probably one of the only predictions I got right that year. I remember saying that Oregon would beat Oregon State, and it would be the highest margin of victory in the history of the Civil War. And it was, 69-10. That was probably the only thing memorable about that game. I think Chip Kelly went to UCLA like that morning or the night before, like that news had just broken. So that again, to your point, gives you context of how far everybody's come. You know, Chip is still banging his head against the wall, calling plays with Ohio State all these years later. And Oregon, though, is still, you know, atop the college football pecking order or near the top in terms of the conversation, and the head coach success has a lot to do with that. But yeah, it's been a wild, wild time. What are you doing with I-5 Corridor right now? Lay it out for the listeners that don't know.
So if you are not subscribed to the I-5 Corridor, I would highly recommend that. Tyson Alger, one of the best Oregon athletics, but football in general, storytellers there is. And I have hijacked the Traffic Report, which is the podcast name. So we put out a podcast once a week. And maybe if we can get some momentum, we might be pushing out a couple more, especially if there's a playoff run, so be on the lookout for that. But, Tyson is a good friend and a good dude, and helped me stay in front of a microphone when my microphone was taken away, but we don't even dive into that. And it's been a great thing to do in this run, because as you guys know, like, half of the fun in doing the job that we do is after we watch football, we get to then gab about it to everybody. And my poor wife and dog could not handle me after Oregon football games just spewing hot takes over and over and over again to just them. So I am now on the I-5 Corridor, the Traffic Report podcast, which drops every Thursday. And if you are subscribed to the I-5 Corridor, good. If not, you should hop on and get on the bandwagon right now.
Well, and you're perfect for that, just because you are a duck honk. So, you know, you bring that point of view that everyone needs. I do need to ask you this, though, first of all. We had Dan Lanning on. Well, John had Dan Lanning on yesterday, and he talked about Thanksgiving and how he eats Thanksgiving around noon. Like, that's what he grew up on. But his wife made it later on in the day, and it threw him off. Like, he had it at dinner time for their Thanksgiving dinner. So when is your preferable Thanksgiving time to actually sit down and eat your meal?
So this is something that, Stephen, you may have had to figure out, that my dinner time as a child is with the Myers family. We always ate around 1 o'clock
for dinner.
I always feel like one. Yeah. It's a Thanksgiving that you eat it around 1 o'clock. Then you take a nap, you get up, and then you have leftovers for a late dinner sometime around 7 or 8. It's the best time. Now, the in-laws, which is where I spent Thanksgiving this year. The in-laws have Thanksgiving dinner around 5, and so we decided to compromise, and we had dinner at 5.
Now, I know the lady in your life's a husky. Does that mean the in-laws are huskies too, Justin?
So brother-in-law, Coug, and then her parents are both from Illinois. So they're Big Ten people. But, yeah, split family because my brother-in-law is a Coug. So we did have Cougar Gold at the for some pre-dinner snacks.
You need someone to represent the Beavs, though. I mean, come on. Be inclusive, well, Justin.
Have an actual beaver show up. You know, you could do that.
Yeah, exactly right. There were plenty around. I mean, we were out there in Camas, Washington. There's plenty of Oregon State folks. There's plenty of people rocking camo out there. Can I go back to something real quick? I don't mean to hijack you guys.
No, that's why they call it Camas, by the way, is for the camo. I learned that the other day.
Camo.
Yeah, exactly. No, true. Hijack away.
Did Gary, who was on before me, did Gary say that if Oregon were to lose to Penn State tomorrow, which would stink, would be devastating? Is that how people feel? Am I taking crazy feels?
So
people realize that if they lose this game, it's going to stink. Like, you want to win to win the Big Ten in your first season in the Big Ten would be awesome. To go undefeated heading into the playoffs to getting a first-round bye. I think there's far, far more benefit to winning the game tomorrow than losing the game tomorrow. I know some people on Twitter don't feel that way. Some prominent people on Twitter don't feel that way. But I feel like you should try to win every game that you play, and you should win the game in front of you. And I think the benefits outweigh anything else in terms of winning or losing tomorrow. But if Oregon loses, Oregon fans realize that they're the 5 seed. They're playing at Autzen Stadium for the first round, likely getting the winner of tonight's game between Boise and UNLV, then probably facing SMU in a second round neutral site game. That's not a bad spot to be. You want to win the conference, but it is far from a devastation if Oregon loses to Penn State tomorrow.
Well, I mean, I would agree with, and frankly, that shocked me because Gary is as Doug Homer as it gets. He loves his Doug. So when he said it was devastating, I was like, what? All right. But because I do think that there's a lot of negatives to losing the game tomorrow. But part of it to me, Justin, and let me know, like, Oregon's been chest thumping among the best of them. No one chest thumps the way that Oregon chest thumps. You have an inflatable duck going down the waterways of Indy. Now you're going back to Indy, and you're not playing Ohio State. You're playing Penn State, who, by the way, was picked to finish below you in the Big Ten preseason poll. If you go in there and lose that game, you open yourself up to, I think, warranted criticism based on the way that you've been marketing yourself, and that marketing machine has been rolling the last year plus. You go in and lose that game to Penn State, it's like, all right, you don't own the conference. You're acting like you own the conference. You're strutting your feathers. You don't own this conference because you lost this game.
I mean, look, and I understand that, and that's fair. Good news is, heading into the playoff, like, criticism doesn't block, tackle, or throw. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, if you lose the game, yeah, you're going to face some criticism, and that's I think a lot of Oregon fans love the fact that Dan Lanning's not afraid to do the gladiator, thumbs down. And like you said, Judah, like an inflatable duck at Media Days, like back in the summer. That's where this whole thing started.
Ironically, yeah, you were there. You were there for that, Justin. How was that?
You were inside the duck, it turns out. I didn't know that.
I was inside the dome. I wasn't there where the duck had been deflated by the time I showed up.
Oh, okay.
That's how late I got to the party. But regardless, like, I get it. Like, you're going to face a little bit of criticism, and I am intrigued by a 3.5-point spread. Steven, I know you're still a degenerate gambler. That surprises me that number is that low. But I think here's where it's going to get weird, though. And I guess I'll throw it back to you guys. Where is conference championships and their value in 2024 and into 2025 in college football? Because if you win the conference but lose the Rose Bowl, what's the season like for Oregon as opposed to maybe the opposite? What if you lose the game tomorrow but you win your home playoff game, you beat SMU, and you make the Final Four? Does that validate your season? Because we know in basketball, every season is validated by a Final Four run. I'm curious, and I don't know. I don't know the answer. I don't have a take. I'm just curious. Where is the value for a conference championship? I still think it's high. But does it need to be validated by a Final Four run in this playoff?
I think it does. Like, I agree with you. Like, I don't think the conference championships matter that much. I mean, because you're right. The Big Ten, Penn State and Oregon, no matter who loses, they have a chance at the national title. Same with the SEC. Both teams have a chance for the national championship. It doesn't matter where you're ranked. You still have a chance. So, I don't think conference championships are as important as they once were. I do think this year's a little different with the Ducks just because it's their first year in the Big Ten. But I'm with you. It would stink if they lose, but it's not a necessary winning factor. Like, because, okay, answer me this. As a Duck fan, is it a disappointment if the Ducks don't win the national title this year, considering they're the only undefeated team left in college football?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you knew going into this year with, you know, I know the lot was made of the Ohio State $20 million roster. I don't know the number that's in Eugene, but I'm pretty sure it's comparable. So, I mean, everybody going into this season kind of had Oregon as a lock to go to the playoff and not really a national championship or bust, but this is, I think by far, really since 2014, Oregon's best chance to win the national title, because in 2014, I was riding high off of that Rose Bowl win. I was like 39 points over Florida State, and Ohio State knocked off Alabama. Everything was lined up, and then Ezekiel Elliott had some other things to say about that in that game. But, yeah, I think that Final Four is going to be interesting. Getting to the final game, which Oregon has been to twice now, I wonder where the value in a conference championship is. But I do agree with what you were saying, Judah. You're 100% right. Like, Dan Lanning and Oregon have, and with their Ducks versus them and the way that they smash in Washington helmets and jumping around and going forward on 4th and 9 against Wisconsin and thumbs down and, hey, calling a timeout to watch the Michigan fans leave, like that's a pretty healthy boasting, which I love, because, you know, you're 12-0, you get to do that. Winners get sprinkles. But it would be an interesting shot to the ego if they get into this game and go up against Penn State and maybe lose in like that big boy football, because then it comes back to, weren't ready for the Big Ten when they face those big boy programs. I don't think it's going to be that way. I actually am still fairly comfortable Oregon's going to win the game tomorrow, but there's some stuff riding on it. It's fascinating. I love it. It's the best time of year.
Well, and two quick things on that. We're talking to Justin Myers, longtime Ducks media member and podcaster right now with I-5 Corridor and Tyson Alger.
I'm going backwards, Judah.
No, dude, this is all, come on, this is part all forwards.
Future.
I just need my Captain Crunch against Raisin Bran or Wheaties comparisons. And if I can get those on demand on a podcast, time. that's what I'm there for. Anytime I have breakfast cereal, I think of Justin Myers. I can't help it. Like, that's the way it goes. So to me, that's success. That's career goals. But
a legacy we all leave.
It is indeed. I don't have a comparable one. That's for sure. I would say this, though, about tomorrow night and the Ducks at large. Like, a couple of things. Number one, it's harder to win a national title now than it's ever been. Yes, Oregon got to the
100%.
They got to the last game in 2010. They got to the last game in 2014. And it's this weird, you know, dynamic, Justin, where the stakes are winning a national championship. And I heard you just say, hey, your season's validated by a Final Four run. To a degree, I agree with that. But also, in the Final Four, and obviously college basketball, it's a 64-68 team field. I don't think, personally, and I'm not a dunk honk, I'm not a duck homer, I'm a little bit more neutral, but I'm rooting for Oregon to do well. I don't think a Final Four run's enough. You don't spend $20 million. You don't market yourself like this. Getting to the final, that's not enough. You're in it to win the entire thing. But it's also harder than it's ever been to win the entire thing. That's why you have to have a roster as talented and deep as what you pay for and as what Oregon is paying for. So I guess with all that in mind, I also think of Ohio State, and people are talking about Ohio State like this big boogeyman. We don't want to see them in the playoff, or that rematch with Ohio State. That could be the place where Oregon trips. Do you still feel that way, Justin, based on what you've seen out of the Buckeyes? The last, obviously, losing as 3 touchdown favorites to Michigan, all the stuff they're dealing with on their offensive line. They are a mess up front right now. Chip Kelly, Ryan Day, I don't really know what to expect from them any given game. Like, if Oregon plays Ohio State in the Rose Bowl in a, you know, on New Year's Day, like, are Duck fans really all that anxious about that matchup at this point?
I still think Ohio State is good enough to win the national title. I do. I think if you go back and look at the entire season, even including the game at Austin, Ohio State's played one bad game, right, against Michigan. And they've got clearly a Michigan problem, but I still think that's a dangerous team. I think that's a dangerous roster. I mean, of all the teams that are potentially in there, I think Oregon, I think Texas, I think Ohio State, and maybe a smidge of me thinks Notre Dame, but other than that, every team's got a fatal flaw, right? And so that's why I think Ohio State's dangerous is, like, compared to the rest of college football. I know everybody is wanting to avoid the big bad Bulldogs that is Georgia. I watched that Georgia Tech game.
Oh, yeah.
Right? The Georgia is good, don't get me wrong, but that's not the same Georgia team that put it on Oregon in Dan Lanning's first game a couple of years ago. I would much rather face Georgia as Oregon than maybe face Ohio State again. So I still think that, like, I don't know if Ohio State has the fear of God, like that maybe Oregon fans had a couple of weeks ago, but I still think they're as good as anybody. And I think what happened was, and I think if this is going to be key, because I think this happens to Big Ten teams, old school, the Ridge Big Ten teams. Guys, they get into this contest where it almost seems like they have to prove their toughness in November as opposed to just going out and playing football. And Michigan played Ohio State right into that, right? It's just like, oh, you guys have got, five guys, a wide receiver that are probably going to be playing in the NFL, and you're not going to throw to any of them? You're going to prove your toughness? I'm very interested to see the game plan that Oregon has going up against Penn State, because I think in November and now into December, for a long, long time, most Big Ten schools kind of fell into this trap in these big games of, like, we not only do we have to win Big Ten football. Oregon's not going to play Big Ten football, right? Dan Lanning's not going to change the way he coaches. The offense isn't going to change any of the play calling to prove their toughness. So I think that's the trap that Ohio State found themselves in. Oregon might, but I don't think Dan Lanning or, quite frankly, the culture of Oregon football quite care about how they win, just finding a dub.
Yeah, that's right about that. Anything else for Justin from your end, Stephen Vaughn?
I got in this argument with my brother the other day, like a week ago, about A.C. Slater and if he would have been a Division I quarterback or Division I wrestler, because he did go to Cal University to wrestle, but I said he could have been a D1 quarterback. Would he have been a better quarterback or wrestler had he chosen, you know, football?
I think it depends on the era, because I got to imagine Slater's like wishbone quarterback, right? I mean, this is
you know,
like,
he's running the football. He's running the rock.
He is a running quarterback. Could he run the spread? Like, could he get the ball out fast? Decision-making for Slater. Guys, think about this, right? Slater, not the best decision-maker.
He had some questionable decisions. Controversial.
He really did. I mean, at the beginning, had a shot at Kelly, decided to go with Jesse. Mm. What are we doing there? Questionable decisions down the stretch. He's Division I, but I think he's got Group of Five written all over him. Meanwhile, on the wrestling mat, right, he was recruited by Iowa. Remember when Stansberry was there and was looking at him? Iowa was also looking at him, and he went to Cal as wrestler. He beat Nedick, and Nedick was, you know, all-county wrestler, and about three or four weight classes above Slater.
Like, it seemed unfair.
Fight. They don't do weight classes, so I'm gonna say right decision though, going to Cal as a wrestler. I don't think he makes it as a football player in 2024. Maybe in 91, running a wishbone for a group of
Tommy
five
Tommy Frazier like.
Yeah, there's a good call. Yeah,
there we go. Yeah. I mean,
they don't make them like that anymore.
we could take it all the way back. They didn't have an awful lot of success, but Don Shanklin at Oregon State or Timmy Alexander running that wishbone with Gary Pettibone. I think that's Slater's ceiling. Okay. Whereas as a wrestler, did he translate into the octagon? Do you think he's got the killer instincts to go into the octagon? To take on the best of the best in the UFC? Did he maybe use some of that charisma and go the WWE route, right? There's a lot of possibility.
I mean, he's killing it in NIL, wherever he ends up collegiately. But, Justin, hey, appreciate your time, man. What's your official prediction for tomorrow?
I like Oregon by 7. I would go double digits, but Vegas at 3.5, and that number has stuck, knows something that apparently I don't know. So I will, you know how like they always take 3 off for home field advantage? I'm going to take 3 off for homer advantage, right? Because the homer in me says Oregon by 10. I'm going to then, you know, bring that down by 3 because of the homer equation, and I'll go Ducks by 7.
And who plays quarterback for the Ducks next year? This has been, you know, clattering around in my head, and I'm not sure I've got a clear answer, so I'm asking everybody.
I still think Dante Moore is the leader in the clubhouse. I don't know for a fact because I don't have inside sources or anything. Nobody tells me anything. But I don't believe guys transfer to places where maybe winks and nods and promises aren't thrown out. And I got to imagine Dante Moore came to Oregon from UCLA, probably got a lot of different offers with the idea that after Gabriel had his season that he will have a chance. And I think he's the leader in the clubhouse. But Gus brings in a couple of 5-star recruits. You know there's going to be some transfers out there. They're going to be looking Oregon's way, especially if they have a nice run in the playoff. It's kind of wide open. But if you were asking me right now, feet to the fire, I still say Dante Moore is the starting quarterback next year. And I don't mind it.
All right. Thursday's new episodes, the Traffic Report, I-5 Corridor, Justin Myers and Tyson Alger and company. It's great to talk to you again, Justin. Great to get your Ducks thoughts ahead of this big one tomorrow, and we'll catch up with you again down the road and be tuning in for your takes Thursdays when each podcast drops, man. We appreciate it.
Judah and Steven, great talking to you both. Never say never, and the fact that I'm on with you guys right now on this particular station says never say never. Great talking to you, boys.
Never say never. Man, now I really want to go down the list of former station members and see how many we can re-pop on. Now, there will be a few that are just no-goes, and some of our longtime listeners
honestly,
will know
I thought
that.
Justin was a no-go. When I asked him, I thought, I don't know if he's going to come back. And you know what? He was.
Oh, you didn't think that he would say yes?
Yeah.
Oh, but I mean, it's you.
But it's me, you know.
You know, a little bit me, but yeah. Mostly you.
Yeah, you know.
You know, and Justin's a good guy. Plus, it's not just the station. It's the whole radio network statewide, baby. You know, it's all his stuff. Like where's he from? He's from
Winston. Come on.
Winston,
now.
Right? Okay. Where is Winston?
Exactly.
Now it's like the name of a dog, right? Yeah, but it's somewhere out in the state where I'm sure we're on. You know, you can always stream the show at 750thegame.com. Right. Yeah. Justin's been a long time media guy. So it's good to connect with him on that. All right. We got some more to talk about, some big NFL games, the other conference championship games. Plus, Boise is kicking off at the top of the hour against Barry Odom. Talk about that a little bit more. Plus, Punch It Audio and the 5 at 5 and what's on tap. Judah Newby, Stephen Vaughn in for John Cazzano on the eve of the Big Ten title right here on the Bald-Faced Truth.
How do you feel when you switch to GEICO and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with GEICO feels just like that. Get more with GEICO.